Uncertainty isn't just a challenge, it's a call to adapt. At Tagoras, we help organizations navigate disruption with clarity and confidence. Whether it's making smarter decisions about your portfolio, understanding shifting market dynamics, or identifying new opportunities for growth, we bring deep experience in strategy, market assessment, and lifelong learning. If you're looking to build a more resilient, responsive learning business, we're here to help. Learn more at tagoras.com/clarity. If you want to grow the reach, revenue, and impact of your learning business, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
This episode, number 450, features a conversation with Kevin Eikenberry, a recognized expert in leadership development and in learning, and the chief potential officer of the Kevin Eikenberry Group. Kevin is a leader, a learner, a podcaster, a speaker, and an author, most recently of Flexible Leadership, Navigate Uncertainty and Lead with Confidence. Jeff, you had the pleasure of speaking with Kevin Eikenberry again. I say again because he's been on the Leading Learning Podcast before, way back in episode 80. What did you and Kevin talk about this time?
Well, as you might guess, we talk about the concept of flexible leadership and the growing relevance of flexible leadership in a world that feels more complex and uncertain and that seems to necessitate flexibility.
Kevin also talks about three pillars of flexible leadership in your conversation.
He does. He talks about the importance of mindset, skill set, and habit set. And arguably, those same three things are not just keys to leadership, but to learning. We need mindset, skill set, and habit set to effectively learn and apply ideas and concepts.
I'll also say, dear listener, that if Jeff and Kevin's conversation piques your interest in flexible leadership and you want to work on improving your own leadership, your confidence, your flexibility, your leadership in general, listen at the end for ways to access some of Kevin's resources. And with that, on with the conversation.
You have got a new book out. We were talking a little bit before the show, and between being the lead author and the co-author and all of those sorts of things, you're past 20 books at this point. So you've got quite a track record here. This one is called Flexible Leadership, Navigate Uncertainty and Lead with Confidence. I think there's probably a lot of appetite out there for learning how to navigate uncertainty these days and do that with confidence. Now, I'll start off, you say in the book, leadership is complicated. Arguably, it's more complicated than ever now, but you also say that the core of leadership hasn't changed. So what prompted you to write Flexible Leadership now? And what does flexibility really mean in our current context?
As you said earlier, the world is complex. There is as much or more uncertainty than ever. I don't know if we can actually say that because this is the only time we've lived, right? But I think we can safely say that there's as much or more uncertainty across a wide variety of areas than we can, most of us can remember in our lifetimes. And so all of that adds to the complexity of leading. And so I think the need for us to have tools to help us deal with uncertainty is greater now than ever. And so I believe the book is coming out at the right time. And I'm excited because I think that it has something to say that hasn't really been said, which I'm like you. I read lots of books. I read lots of books about leadership. And I don't say that lightly. And I don't, because there's a tremendous amount of stuff that I've read that's phenomenal. And certainly I'm standing on the shoulders of all of that. And yet I do think I'm saying some things here that haven't been said.
Are you hearing right now, or in leading up to writing this book, from leaders who are feeling overwhelmed in our current world? And what are you hearing from them, if that's the case?
Well, I certainly hear some of that. I think ever since you and I are having a conversation, I know this won't be out in the world for a while and people could be listening to this anytime in the future. But as you and I are having this conversation, it's been almost exactly 5 years since COVID changed a whole lot of stuff for most all of us, right? And so I think from that time on, the level of overwhelm, the amount and speed of change, the amount of uncertainty has become a bigger issue than ever before. I don't think it's always come out as I'm overwhelmed with uncertainty. And yet I think that's a big part of what it's actually been. And to your point, I think we're actually hearing that word more now, even though I'm not sure what people are feeling is any different than it's been for 3, 4, 5, 6 years. But I think that people are starting to hold on to that word, or maybe want to let go of that word. But that word is more in our language, I think, than it had been previously.
Yeah. Now, you structure the book around three pillars, and it's nice. We're talking about uncertainty. It's nice to have some structure to how to think about that. But those three pillars in your book are skill set, or mindset, skill set, and habit set. And maybe you can talk a little bit about why you structured it that way. And then I'd also like to know, which of those do you see most often overlooked by leaders?
Yeah, I am so glad that you brought that up. If there's any audience, any of the podcasts that I'm going to do in the promotion of this book, this is the audience that I think will resonate with this particular point. Like all of us as in the learning business, we know that we're in the business of giving people skills. And that's true. People go to training, build skill. They watch an e-learning course, watch a YouTube video, listen to this podcast, hoping to get some skills. And skill set is super important. But it's the other two. Without the other two, the skill sets don't matter. So let's just walk through it all the way. Like I would say of the three, we as Jeff, as an industry, are best at the skill set one. Like we know that's what we're supposed to do. Put new skills in people's toolkits, right? But if the mindset doesn't match it, like if people don't believe that those skills apply, if they don't believe those skills are relevant, if they don't think they're needed, if they don't think they're important, doesn't matter how good we are at giving them the skills, if the mindset doesn't match it, they're not going to use it. I mean, intellectually, they might get it and they might nod, whether it's in a workshop or a virtual workshop or whatever, like whatever the learning experience is, synchronous or asynchronous, they might nod, but nothing's going to change. And then the gap between the skill set and the habit set, I think, is the one that all of us have tried to figure out for a long time, or we sort of just try to be really good at skill set and then hope. Well, hope's not a very good strategy in this particular case. So when I talk about habit set, I'm talking about I've got skills in my toolkit that I actually pull out and use. Because if not, we give people a learning experience and those tools become dusty or rusty. And if they're dusty or rusty and aren't being used, like what was the point, right? Habit set is applying the stuff. It's crossing the chasm from knowing to doing. It's the question, Jeff, that I ask on my podcast every episode. Now what? What will you do with this? So I framed the book around mindset, skill set, habit set. We've been talking about that. We've been trying to help clients apply that for a long time. And it made total sense to me to make that the overarching framework of the book.
Well, I really loved habit set. And it's something I've been trying to become more conscious of myself. Because like you said, you have these skills, but until you do start to habituate them into what you're doing, they just don't have the power that they could. And I've tried to be more conscious and noticing that. And I find it's easier when I'm doing something like, say, learning a musical instrument. I finally realized, oh, I've kind of got those scales under my hands in a way that I can actually use them meaningfully now. I find it a little harder when I'm thinking about leadership to figure out that I've actually kind of embodied and incorporated the habits that I need. I mean, do you have any tips for leaders who want to kind of develop their habit set portion of this?
Well, I was mindful as you were talking about your fingers feeling the scales. In days long ago, I played the saxophone and there was a time when I had that skill set, but if you don't keep doing it, like that's going away. The last time I put my hands on a saxophone, I could still sort of play a scale, but not the way I once could, right? But we're really mostly talking now about bringing a new thing to bear, right? Like now a brand new thing that I'm going to try to apply. And so I think we're very fortunate now in this time that there's been a tremendous amount of study, research, and practical writing about how do we build habits. And probably the most famous application of all that is Atomic Habits by James Clear. And I certainly mention some of his work in the back part of this book. It's not the only book around habits that's very good. It happens to be the one that continues to outsell everything else. And most everyone who's listening probably has at least heard of it. If you've heard of it, you should read it. If you own it and haven't read it, you should read it. If you read it but haven't done anything, read it again. But fundamentally, there's a lot in there. But what I would say for us as individual leaders, the main thing is we need to try something. We need to find a time when we can try it. And so think about the time that you left a workshop. I know this may sound old school. It's not the only way we learn anymore, I realize. But think about the time you left a workshop and you left with a lot of excitement, anticipation. You were ready to go try stuff. And then you got back to the office and the world hit you. And all of that intention sort of went by the wayside while you were trying to bury your head into the work and get caught up right from being gone. So the thing to do, I suggest, is really just pick something small and get started. And while there's a lot of stuff in this book, Jeff, every individual piece is just like, try this, right? Try this here. And so if we want to start to change, build up our muscle memory around being flexible, I think it requires us to just get started.
Uncertainty isn't just a challenge, it's a call to adapt. At Tagoras, we help organizations navigate disruption with clarity and confidence. Whether it's making smarter decisions about your portfolio, understanding shifting market dynamics, or identifying new opportunities for growth, we bring deep expertise in strategy, market assessment, and lifelong learning. If you're looking to build a more resilient, responsive learning business, we're here to help. Learn more at tagoras.com/clarity. Well, I'm going to do something surprising here and switch to Welsh real quick. Use a Welsh word.
Well, it's not surprising to me.
It's not surprising to you. It might be surprising to readers to hear me say Cynefin, which I hope I am pronouncing correctly. I only have a shot at it because your book said how to pronounce it correctly. I've seen the word in print for years and years, and I'm familiar with Dave Snowden's work, but I think this is the first time I've actually had to say it out loud. So, but
you get an A.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, I mention it because you draw on the Cynefin framework to help leaders respond based on context. And I know in the learning business, and we're probably not alone in this, but we often face multiple contexts at once. So how do leaders get better at diagnosing context, which seems essential when we're talking about uncertainty as we have been, diagnosing context and responding appropriately?
Yeah, so let me tie it to uncertainty for a second, which is sure. Great. So in Dave Snowden's work, really great work around this thing called the Cynefin framework, everybody, if you're not familiar with it, he says that the situation we find ourselves in fall into, generally speaking, for the purposes of this conversation, into one of four contexts, and that's in this framework. And one of those contexts is called the clear context. And this is the context that a lot of us sort of grew up in at work. Like there's a clear cause and effect. People sort of know what things are. Best practices are really fantastic. We should find a best practice. We should follow a process. The person who has expertise has the answers. We can go there and we can get the answers. And that's awesome, right? You in the leading and learning business, like this is the way it once was. Let's find our subject matter expert. We've got some processes. We'll put this together, whatever the media might be, and we're going to rock and roll. Well, but the world is more complicated, Snowden would say, or more complex. And he would say those two things are different, two of the other four parts of the framework. Fundamentally, there's more things that we don't know than there used to be. And that would be complicated. Like there are things we don't know, we know we don't know. And so we have to try to find those things. And yet it's still an ordered sort of world such that there is probably a way to find all those things out. It might take time. Sometimes we may have to make decisions without all that information, but all that information sort of probably exists. And you're saying, but Kevin, not all the things I deal with now are like that. Some of them are just like, we don't even know what we don't know. Like it's fuzzier even than that. And that's what Snowden and the framework would call complex. Mm-hmm. And I believe that more and more of our work is here. There are competing priorities. There are different situations. There are no such thing as single right answers. There's shades of gray in every direction you want to look. And oftentimes we'll make some decision, we'll look back at it 6 months later and say, well, it makes sense now. Now we know why all these unintended consequences happen. If I'd have known all that then, I'd have made different choices. But in a complex setting, we might not be able to know all those things then. And so we have to approach those kinds of things quite differently than if the context is clear. Now, the fourth one of these, of his context, is chaotic. And here's what I find happening. Leaders either want to assume everything's clear, a clear context, which it's not. Or they say, well, if it's not totally clear, then it's just chaotic. And they want to throw everything in the world of chaos. And I would suggest that in the world of work, as Snowden would define it, which is, I think, a helpful way to think about it, there's very few things that are truly chaotic. That most of the things that we might call chaotic are actually complex or maybe complicated. And so I know that we haven't given this, Jeff, the treatment that people need. I'd encourage them, whether they get flexible leadership or they read up on Dave's work, I highly recommend you doing it. What I'm trying to do is help you think through a map of what to do in your situation. Mm-hmm. Like if you always do the same thing, you'll always get the same result, but in a world that's continuing to change and there's varying degrees of uncertainty, those things we've always done, our natural responses, our best practices, our what we think it is our style, are likely not going to help us. And I'd like to say one more thing about style, if you don't mind,
sure,
for this particular audience. I know that a lot of you really care about helping your leaders. Like I'm asking you now, as you're listening to me, to put on your helping other leaders learn, not just for yourself, but for everybody else too, that in your organization, it is your goal, it is your passion that you want to help leaders get better. I love that. We are on exactly the same page. And yet one of the things that we often do is we use assessments and we use tools and we use styles, assessments, and all sorts of things. We use strengths and styles and Myers-Briggs and DISC, and we can go on and on. And all of those tools are marvelous until they're not.
Mm.
And often they're not. And here's why. It's because we have now turned them in to our identity. Well, I lead like this because this is who I am. These are my strengths. I'm a facilitative leader. Well, I'm a directive leader. Well, I'm a servant leader. Well, I'm an IS. Well, I'm an ENTJ. Like I can talk all the different language, right? The point is, once it becomes our identity, we are mentally locked in and our ability to flex gets even harder. Knowing our style to know our tendencies, super helpful. But if we oversimplify it, and as professionals, if we really keep trying to teach it so they really get it, what we might be doing is cementing in the inability for them to actually flex. And that's not what we want at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's kind of locking people into an identity that they then don't know how to navigate their way out of. That does prompt a follow-on question for me that I think is related to what we were just talking about with Dave Snowden's work. But people want consistency. They want consistency in themselves and their own behavior. They want some consistency in what they are providing as an organization, because arguably that's the basis of trust and it's a basis of security. So there probably, you know, there is a legitimate need for consistency. You just don't want that foolish consistency that, you know, as Emerson said, is the hobgoblin of little minds. You got to know when to have the consistency and when to be flexible as you advocate and be able to innovate in the context you're in. So how do you strike that balance?
Well, first of all, you framed it the right way. It's a balance. Too often people say, well, I can be consistent or I can be flexible. And as you've hinted, the most helpful way to think about this is that how can I be consistent and still be flexible?
Mm.
Or how can I be flexible and still have a level of consistency? So think of a tree, a mature tree. A mature tree is stable and consistent and known and not moving, and it's locked in, right? It's rooted. And as leaders, we should be rooted. We should be rooted in our values and our principles, in the principles of human behavior and group dynamics and change management and all that sort of stuff. Like there are principles that are known. There are values that we hold. There's a mission that we have. There are purposes that we serve. Like that doesn't change. But how we work to get to those things, like the leaves on the tree, should absolutely be flexible. And so it really is a matter of how do I do both, not pick one. So thinking about this as what I talk about in the book as a flexor, that both we can be, in fact, we need to be both consistent and flexible. And I believe that once people see us as consistent on the why, they're going to be very comfortable with us being flexible on the how.
You referenced just a bit ago in our conversation this idea of cultivating yourself as a leader, but also helping to cultivate other leaders. And you even devote a chapter in the book, Creating an Organization of Flexible Leaders, which I know in their hearts, the people who are leading learning businesses, of course, want to do that, to be able to cultivate the people who are working for them and with them as leaders, you know, maybe even their learners as leaders. But I also find that in many of the learning businesses we deal with, especially in, you know, like trade and professional associations, staff development isn't always at the top of the list. It's often a cobbler's children sort of thing in terms of developing people. What are the first steps leaders can take to sort of begin a cultural shift that does lead to that, you know, organization of flexible leaders?
Well, let me just say this, that if it is your goal, let's say you're a trade association and you really are trying to provide services to your members around learning services. If you want to have the most possible impact and influence on helping them to do that, you better be doing it yourselves. It can't be that the emperor has no clothes, right? It can't, because your vision of that, I mean, people watch our feet more than our lips. And so we really need to put that at the forefront. And because if we don't, everything that we're doing out into the world, even if our intention is completely honorable there, is ringing hollow if people aren't seeing it in what we're doing. And how does that play out with your staff? You've got your staff out there talking about the importance of learning with your members and all that sort of stuff. And then they're thinking, well, I'm not getting any of that. It's a fool's errand to do that. So I would be pretty blunt, hopefully kind, but straightforward, Jeff, and say, if that's what's happening, you need to reassess the priorities, because your ability to be influential with your members and with your external customers will go up when it's consistent with what you're doing internally.
Absolutely. I feel like we've said similar things in the past that, yes, I mean, you absolutely have to be walking the walk. I mean, I think that's just probably, in my mind, that's a big part of leadership in general. You know, if you're not sort of an avatar for your expectations of people, then how can you hold them to those expectations?
For me, and I think we all see that, like when those people are around us, right? They're on the same Teams channel with us. But if it's our customers, sometimes that can get disconnected. Like, I don't think anyone's going to disagree with what you or I just said, but when the customer's out there, we kind of can lose that thought. And I think you and I are both saying, don't lose that thought. Like, you've got to, because if you don't, it's going to have impacts that you might not even be able to see.
You know, to go back to our earlier discussion around the habit set, this needs to become habitual as part of you and as part of your organization. So it's just really ingrained in the culture. And I think, you know, part of what flexible leadership does for me is just helps to elevate the consciousness of that and make it clear you have to be intentional about doing that. It's not just going to happen.
Well, I'm very clear that in this book, I'm asking people, like you said it, and I agree, and it's in the book, that being a leader is a complex task. It's not simple. It's complex. And I'm asking in this book, I'm urging people to make it harder for a while, because I'm suggesting that you don't just do what comes natural, that you don't just do your habit, that you don't just do your style, but rather that you look at the context and say, oh, well, it depends. Well, what does it depend on? Well, based on that, I might need to do this a little bit differently. That's the crux of this book, which means that I'm urging you to say, I have to get out of my auto response habit, natural response style, and make that my new habit. Now, once I can get that as my new starting point, then I'm going to look at the context of the situation, at least for an instant, or maybe an hour, or maybe a day before I go forward. That once that becomes your new habit, now you're really on the path of being flexible rather than wanting to be a flexible leader.
Yeah, I like that, making it, you know, harder possibly before it gets easier, which is so often the case with learning in general. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to make the effort. You have to do the deliberate practice. And sometimes it doesn't feel all that pleasant, but it gets you to where you ultimately want to go, which does feel great once you get there.
And the fruits of leadership are tremendous.
Absolutely.
Right? The opportunity that we have to make a difference for our organization, for our clients, for our members, for our customers, for our teams, as we get better at it, the fruit of that labor is pretty amazing, right?
Definitely. Definitely. Well, this isn't going to be the TLDR version, because I want everybody to read this book. This is a great book for everybody to read, Flexible Leadership. But this is a podcast. People are listening. And if they want to begin applying some of the ideas to their business, where would you suggest they start? Is there a particular chapter or a practice that you cover, or just something that jumps out at you that you just really want people to know about this and do this from the book?
So the first thing, I think we've done a pretty good job here. We hope that, Jeff and I hope that you have the intention and realize that flexible is okay and probably even preferable in some cases. And then secondly, there are times when you are considering something or someone asks you for your input or your decision on something and you say in your head, it depends. In those moments when you say it depends, what does it depend on? Ask yourself, well, what does it depend on? And based on that, I might do something different, right? That's the kernel of being a flexible leader. But when you ask yourself, or when you say, well, it depends, you don't even have to know how to say Kenevan to fundamentally, at some level, you're saying, I have to make more sense of this situation before I decide what we could or should do. And then the third, so it's intention plus context. And this, as I've described, as it depends. And then lastly, it's flexors. So being willing to flex. And let's just take a super simple one for 30 seconds. Sometimes our best response is to answer. Sometimes our best response is to ask. And most of us lean toward one of those things most of the time. And yet maybe where we need to be in a certain situation, or maybe in lots of situations, is more the other direction on that. Maybe we need to ask more, or maybe we ask a lot and sometimes we need to be more definitive for our team. So that would be one of the things we would call a flexor, the asking. I think it's actually the answering, asking flexor. And so that's what I would say. If you're going to buy the book, start with the first chapter, because it lays out the groundwork and why this is so important for all of us. And if you do that, I think you're heading in the right direction. And in fact, you can get that chapter for free if you go to our website and give you a taste of the book. If you just go to flexibleleadershipbook.com, it'll get you all the ways to order the book. And there's a bunch of bonuses if you buy more books for your organization, but you can get that chapter.
Well, that was definitely one of the things I was going to ask you before we wrapped up here. But one other thing I want to ask you before we tie a bow around this is kind of about your own lifelong learning. And I believe we've talked about this before, and certainly, evidence of it has come up in the podcast, but you obviously have to always be learning yourself to do what you do and to do it well. How would you talk about your own, I'm going to use one of your terms, habit set around lifelong learning? How have you cultivated that habit set and what does it consist of?
Well, I read a lot. Mm-hmm. I consume a lot of things in a lot of different ways. And here's the thing I'll say that maybe I do that not everybody does. And that is that I look at the world often through a learning lens. In other words, something will happen and I'll say, well, what can I learn from that? Or let's take it more specifically and say, like, from a leadership lens. So if I watch a movie, I can enjoy the movie. I mean, it's not like I'm sort of some sort of weirdo, but like, I'm going to look at that movie at some point through the leadership lens. Like, what are the leadership lessons here? What does this confirm for me? Or what does this make me think about that I've not considered before? And so when I'm reading an autobiography or a biography, that's part of the lens I'm looking at it through. We can become a better learner about anything in part by choosing the lens to look at it through. We can watch any news program, and I'm not talking about politics now. Although you can watch a show that's about politics. And if you watch it, and instead of thinking about the policy, think about the process that the leaders were using or not using and saying, what can I take from this? What lessons can I draw? What inferences can I make? Like, that's a really powerful thing. And the other thing that I'd like to think I'm pretty good at is reflection, which is to be consciously willing to stop and look back and say, so how did that go? What worked? What didn't? What do I want to do differently next time? So one of the things that I will do when you and I are done, before I get on to my next thing, because I'm going to have a couple of minutes, is I'm going to say, so how did I think I did here? And what might I do differently or better next time? Did that analogy work? Did I talk too much, which I think I did in this case, or whatever? But like, think about what happened and say, what do I want to keep? What do I want to change? And why? Doing that is a hugely valuable way to learn.
We are big fans of reflection here at Leading Learning. In fact, I believe we have at least one episode devoted to it, and we often do after action reviews for our episodes as well. And I love that, consciously applying a learning lens as you go through life. Certainly something every listener here should take to heart.
We're not done quite yet. Keep listening for our recap.
At leadinglearning.com/episode450, you'll find show notes, a transcript, options for subscribing to the podcast, and links to the Kevin Eikenberry Group's website, to where you can download the first chapter of Flexible Leadership for free.
And if you enjoy the Leading Learning podcast, we would love for you to share an episode with a colleague or two who you think would benefit from listening.
So, Salisa, when you think about the conversation with Kevin, what are you taking away?
Well, you already highlighted mindset, skill set, and habit set at the outset of our conversation, but I think Kevin does a nice job of explaining how each is essential for leading and, as you already said, learning too. I also like how he uses Dave Stone's framework, but I'm going to leave the Welsh pronunciation to you.
That's right, the Cynefin or Cynefin framework, which puts forth four contexts: clear, complicated, complex, and chaotic. And Kevin pointed to the fact that too often leaders assume things are clear or chaotic, but probably a lot of contexts are actually complicated or maybe complex.
I'll mention one other thing I'm taking away, and that's Kevin's distinction that if leaders are consistent with the why, then they can be flexible in the how.
So that's it for this episode. Kevin has a lot of wisdom to share about leadership. So thanks for listening into that. And we'll see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.